Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
And by Vortex Optics. With the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at VortexOptics.com.
And by Brome, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at Brome.com.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to our show number 986. Well, most Talkin' Birds listeners have probably heard about the fact that the common names of many of the birds we know will soon be changing. Here's part of the statement from the American Ornithological Society, a group that's effectively in charge of common English bird names throughout North and South America. Quote, in an effort to address past wrongs and engage more people in the enjoyment, conservation, and study of birds, the Council of the American Ornithological Society announced a decision, November 2023, to change all English common bird names within its geographic purview that are currently named directly after people, eponymous names, as well as other names deemed offensive and exclusionary. End quote. The Council has established what it describes as a diverse new committee to oversee this work and to involve the public in the process of selecting new English common bird names. The latest news is that the Council has chosen six bird species for a pilot program to rename the birds. They are the Inca dove, the Townsend's solitaire, the Maui parrotbill, the Bachman sparrow, the Scots oriole, and the Townsend's warbler. Gets a little complicated as to why all of these birds are candidates for name change, but for those who want to do kind of a deep dive, you can go to the AOS website, which is AmericanOrnithology.org. Okay, how about let's listen to a couple of listener audio postcards, starting with one from Leslie Andrich in Wisconsin, who's close by a bird that's doing some serious painting.
Hi, this is Leslie in Rubicon, Wisconsin. I'm out behind the house in about 8:30 in the evening listening to an American woodcock. He's doing his little paint sound, and then we can hear him doing his little chattering sound as he's zigzagging back from his courtship flight. So wonderful. Have a great day.
Thank you, Leslie. Always nice to hear those woodcocks painting and chirping and sky dancing. Now to a beautiful place called Jamestown in Rhode Island, Narragansett Bay. Chris Powell is there, listening to and looking at some cool birds. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Ray. About 7 o'clock up at Parker property on north end of Jamestown, Rhode Island. The woods are alive with birds this morning. At the beautiful, you hear the ovenbird in the background. Wood thrushes calling, eastern towhees, rose-breasted grosbeaks. It's a beautiful morning. Migration is doing really well here in Rhode Island. Love it out here. See you later. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Chris, for those beautiful bird sounds and that audio postcard. How to make an audio postcard? Where's the best place to make an audio postcard? Well, it's wherever you are. If there's a couple of birds around, just grab your smartphone or borrow one or some other digital device and just record yourself describing what you're seeing for maybe 30 seconds to a minute or so. And then do that into whatever app you have there, right? And then send the file to this address, ray@talkinbirds.com. That's ray@talkinbirds.com. Here's another bird worth listening to. Although we can't say what the bird is, at least right, not yet. That's because it's our mystery bird, and our mystery bird contest is coming along a little later in the show. And here's a description before we tell you about some extra special prizes this morning. Our mystery bird is a large finch. The male's head and back are black. Its breast is bright red. And its sides, belly, and rump are white. Its wings and its long, slightly notched tail are black with white patches. The female has streaked brown upper parts, streaky buff underparts, and yellow wing linings. Our bird, which breeds across the entire northeast quadrant of the U.S. and through much of Canada, in winters in Mexico and points south, forages mostly on the ground for seeds and fruits and insects. That's our mystery bird, and those prizes that we alluded to a moment ago include a big bag of our favorite coffee, shade-grown, bird-friendly, and truly delicious Birds and Beans coffee, grown under the natural forest canopy in Central America to preserve wintering habitat for so many birds. And really excited to announce this new prize, a new Mystery Bird Contest prize. It's a one-year subscription to the new birding magazine, BWD. Now, when I say new, BWD was founded in 1978 as Birdwatcher's Digest. Well, it's back, and better than ever as BWD, each issue packed with beautiful photography, illustrations, and in-depth articles by renowned experts on all kinds of topics, from backyard birds to birding abroad. So a whole one-year subscription as a prize today. If you happen to be a current BWD subscriber, well, that would add a free year to your subscription plan. So the clues, the sound of the bird, and beautiful prizes on the show. And this is a preview. We'll do the actual contest later. Wanted to get you kind of ready for it. It's a royal salute to members of the Talking Birds listening audience who are Talking Birds ambassadors, which means we send them a bunch of cards. They hand them out to their friends and neighbors at their convenience. And more people know about our show and our little effort here to spread the word about birds and conservation. And thank you to Paula W. from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Paula says the road she lives on is called Swift. And she tells us that this road is home, that's right, to breeding chimney swifts. Every year, she says, the building hosting the birds is slated for demolition, but that there's an order from the Ministry of the Environment and Conservation to accommodate the timing of the chimney swift's breeding. Nice. Thank you, Paula. And by the way, our special guest on today's show is also from Canada. Details in a minute. And thank you to Kara from Fort Cobb, Oklahoma. And we are even extra excited to hear about Kara becoming an ambassador because she is ambassador number 875.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes. Thank you, Kara.
That's kind of a big milestone. 875 members in the Talking Birds family. Of course, we want to keep going from there. So if you'd like to become ambassador number 876 and beyond, that would be beautiful. Just go to talkingbirds.com and click on the Get Involved tab to see how to do it. Still to come on our show today, we'll talk with Bird Canada's Jody Allaire about his suggestions on how we can all help birds during their migration. Also today, Mike O'Connor will join us for Let's Ask Mike Live on a smaller subject. The subject is ants. And up next, there's nothing spurious about the bird we're about to meet, except for part of its scientific name. It's today's featured feathered friend. Just as wood warblers here in the Americas are not closely related to the old world warblers of Europe and other parts of the world, orioles in the Americas are not close relatives of old world orioles. That shared nomenclature apparently came about because of the similarity in appearance of the two groups, kind of the way a black-headed thrush on this side of the Atlantic became known as the American robin. Today's featured feathered friend, the orchard oriole, is the smallest of the New World orioles. It's a slim songbird with a straight, pointed bill. Males have black upper parts with a brick-red chest and belly. Females are mostly greenish-yellow with no black on the upper parts.
Orchard orioles, which winter through Central America and Northern South America, inhabit pretty much the same breeding territories as their Baltimore cousins, from the Dakotas and Texas in the west to New England and the mid-Atlantic states and down into Florida in the east. Orchard and other North American orioles are members of the Icteridae, or New World blackbird family, and they all belong to the Icterid genus. The orchard oriole's species-specific name, Spurius, refers to the fact that they were originally misidentified as female Baltimore orioles. In your backyard, orchard orioles won't visit feeders, but they may drink nectar from hummingbird feeders and will be attracted by orange slices and fruit jelly, small amounts of the latter recommended. Shrubs hosting insects and spiders may also bring them into your backyard. There's the clear, somewhat robin-like, whistling song of today's featured feathered friend, Icterus spurius, the orchard oriole. Welcome again to our show number 986. Jody Allaire is the Director of Community Engagement at Birds Canada, and he's the producer of the Warblers podcast. And he's here with some thoughts on how we can all give birds a helping hand during migration. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Ray.
Wonderful to have you back after a very long absence. So birds can use our help, of course, at any time of year, given all the survival challenges that they face. But the challenges, I think, are certainly multiplied during migration. You've created a kind of action list of what we can do. How about a quick overview first, Jody, of why migrating birds need extra help?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, migrating birds are this time of year, everyone thinks of bird migration and enjoys having all these new arrivals coming back to North America. But I think what is not really seen as much behind the scenes is that these birds are undertaking a really long and quite perilous journey. And for many of these birds, many of which are declining, especially the ones coming from further away, the long distance migrants, many of these birds are in population declines, and there are several things that I think we need to be thinking about and doing to try to help these birds, because they are quite fragile, and we're seeing that, you know, with the data more and more every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll kind of run through this list of bullet points and then ask you to sort of come back and give us some thoughts on those, and then maybe focus on a couple of these points here. So we'll go right through the list. One, create and protect habitat for birds and avoid use of pesticides. Two, keep cats from roaming outside. Three, make windows safe for birds. Four, take action on the climate crisis, how this impacts migratory birds. Five, get to know birds. Share your knowledge and help make birding more accessible to others. Six, volunteer. Seven, advocate. And eight, be a bird-friendly consumer. All good things there, Jody. Give us some thoughts on that list.
Yeah, I think this, you know, in putting together a list of how to help birds, there's obviously, people have seen many of these things. And I think what we wanted to try to create here is touching on some of the simple things or easier things that you could do, maybe even in your own backyard or your own neighborhood, but also addressing some of the bigger concerns, right? And things like dealing with the climate crisis and, you know, dealing with habitat loss on a larger scale, like some of those are really big issues. But I think it's important for people to understand and be made aware that there are actions that people can make that will actually make a difference. And even if it's small, everyone doing small actions, it could add up to a real conservation impact.
Hard to absorb this whole list as we're saying it, but we can direct you to this web address so you can see it there at your convenience and leisure. That's birdscanada.org/guide.
And we'll repeat that too again, birdscanada.org/guide. We'll repeat it again before we wrap up here. But Jody, just going back to a couple of those points, and one of them being get to know birds, share your knowledge and help make birding more accessible to others. I wonder if you'd expand a bit on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I talk to people that are maybe just getting into birds, and they often ask, you know, where's the best place to start? You know, like what can I do to help birds right off the top? And often almost every time, the thing I say is, just get to know your birds. Get familiar with your backyard birds. And once you, you know, once you get hooked, which invariably will happen to everyone, once you start paying attention to birds, you know, everyone, I think, and hopefully everyone listening here understands that it's wildly addictive, birding, right? And getting to know birds. But I would love people to take sort of the next step. You know, once you get to know your birds and you see the power and the beauty that is birds, start sharing that with others, whether that's your family, whether that's your neighbors, whether that's, you know, volunteering to lead a community walk. You know, you don't need to be an expert at all ever, right? Like you can just getting people out and having people understand that birds are such an important entryway into nature appreciation, into, you know, a healthier lifestyle, even of spending more time outside in the fresh air. And for birders, people that are you know, regular birders, I think it's really, really important that birders, you know, share their love, share their skills with others. And I think on top of that, try to make birding more accessible. And to me, that means a few different things. That's making sure that the birding community is diverse and representative, making sure that the birding community is welcoming to anyone, everyone. And if you live in areas where, you know, you don't have accessible birding pathways or trails or washrooms, you know, work to try to make those more accessible so that every person, everybody can get involved in birding. And I think that's a really, really key first step. And hopefully that will transition into some of these other items.
Mm-hmm. And another item is taking action on climate crisis. We're so short on time. I want to just direct people again to this site so they can learn more about that. And that's birdscanada.org/guide. Before we go, Jody, I want to ask you just a little bit about Birds Canada. For those of us in the U.S. who think only things happen in the U.S., Birds Canada is a wonderful organization. I think of it as kind of National Audubon combined with Cornell Lab. Is that a reasonable description, sort of?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, the U.S. has lots of great conservation organizations that do lots of great work. I think in Canada, Birds Canada is the leading one, and we're really the only one that takes on citizen science or community science programs and monitoring our birds and trying to engage people in conservation solutions. And we've been around since 1960, started as the Long Point Bird Observatory, mm-hmm. and now we're a national organization. And I couldn't be more proud of the work we do, and I would love people to learn more.
Finally, give us a little plug, if you would, Jody, about the Warblers podcast and where we can find it.
Yeah, no, awesome. And obviously, Ray, thanks so much again for having me on. It's great to reconnect with you. And we have our own podcast. Obviously, it's much smaller than yours, but you know, the Warblers podcast is you know, Canadian bird conservation podcast. You can listen to it on all your podcasting platforms, and we'd love for you to check it out. And obviously, the focus is on Canada, but we deal with a lot of issues that are North American wide.
Jody Allaire is director of community engagement at Birds Canada and producer of the Warblers podcast and creator of this thoughtful list about how we can give birds a helping hand during their migration. I want to just close this, Jody, with this quote, because we talked about this general topic off the air. And the quote is, in the end, we will conserve only what we love. We will love only what we understand. We will understand only what we are taught. That's from Senegalese poet and environmentalist Baba Dioum. Jody, thank you for teaching us something and for being on the show.
Hey, my pleasure, Ray. Thank you so much for having me.
Jody Allaire here on Talking Birds. And up next, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
The flutter of a tail feather, the flash of a wing bar in mid-flight. You don't always have a lot of time to identify a bird in nature, let alone to appreciate its beauty. But with Vortex Optics, you'll have the power to bring every wild moment closer. When you choose Vortex, you're choosing to have a partner in the field as passionate about nature as you are. Whether you're spotting old friends on the backyard feeder or packing for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to add a few species to your life list, Vortex offers a full range of optics and optics accessories for every birder and every budget. And whether the birds are taking you to another state or another country, you're always covered by the Vortex VIP warranty, an unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. If you'd like to learn more, or if you need help choosing your next optic, give Vortex a call at 1-800-4-VORTEX or visit vortexoptics.com.
Let's hear that beautiful song of that beautiful bird that is our mystery bird. I know we have it there somewhere, and we're probably about to hear it. Maybe. Our mystery bird is a large finch. The male's head and black are back. I mean, I'll start that sentence again. The male's head and back are black. Its breast is bright red. Its sides, belly, and rump are white. Its wings and its long, slightly notched tail are black with white patches. Female has streaked brown upper parts, streaky buff underparts, and yellow wing linings. All right, part of the clue there for our mystery bird and beautiful prizes include that big bag of delicious bird-friendly Birds and Beans coffee and our exciting new prize, a one-year subscription to BWD, Birdwatchers Digest. That's right. So here's the number to call. This is the really important part. We probably shouldn't forget this. 781-837-4900. That's 781-837-4900. And up next, it's Let's Ask Mike live in just 1 minute.
Welcome to a world where bird feeding is enjoyable for both you and your feathered friends. Introducing Squirrel Buster Bird Feeders by Brome. Our innovative feeders are designed to keep squirrels at bay, ensuring that your garden birds get their fair share. And the best part? We offer lifetime care for every feeder, making your purchase worry-free. Transform your garden into a bird paradise and keep it that way forever. Sorry, squirrels. It's just for the birds this time. Visit brome.com, B-R-O-M-E.com, to discover our full range of Squirrel Buster feeders and join the Brome family today. Brome, where birds come first and our commitment to you lasts a lifetime.
All right, it's time for Mike O'Connor to channel his inner E.O. Wilson as we talk about ants. On Let's Ask Mike Live. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, good morning, Ray. E.O. Wilson, huh? Oh, okay.
Well, he was not with us any longer, sad to say, but he was, I think, considered the world's foremost expert on ants. So that makes you,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe you're number
two. They're going to start taking his name off the Wilson's Warbler and as a reward.
They're taking it off the E.O. Wilson's Warbler, I think. Yeah, a different
Wilson.
So what's the big deal about ants?
Well, I was out the other day walking in the neighborhood. I had a little time before I had to leave for work, and so I just walked the neighborhood, and one of the driveways had a crack in it, like many asphalt driveways do, and the ants were kind of emerging. Ants pretty much dominant in a lot of areas in the wintertime, and then in the spring, as we know, they come out, they're looking for food and to expand their colonies, looking for more places to breed, and the birds know it, and they were waiting for them, and there were some northern flickers and northern cardinals, two side by side, just gorging on these ants, and they were glad to get them. And I was fun to watch them. And, you know, as I appreciated that, I know a lot of birds depend on ants at this time of year, besides the mockingbirds and the flickers, robins, sparrows, catbirds, and the much-beloved cardinal all take enjoy the ants. But then I started thinking, in my neighborhood, and probably in a lot of neighborhoods around the world, when they see ants, they freak out. People get all worked up over ants, especially if they're flying. They think, oh, here we go, it's an invasion. And they run out with a can of Raid, a black flag, and start spraying everything. And, you know, and I just thought, boy, that's just a mistake, because these ants are so important to these birds, and they run out with the can and they start spraying. And now, I get it. If you've got ants in your kitchen, you've got to take some steps. First of all, keep a cleaner kitchen. That would help. But take a, you know, look online and see what's the better way to do it. But certainly running out with a can of spray outside where the ants are supposed to be isn't the right alternative. Not only would these would it lose a food source, but the birds would ingest these toxic ants. They would pass these toxic ants onto their nestlings, and the next time it rained, the rainwater would puddle up with toxic rainwater from this sprays. And, you know, it amazes me. You go to a I go to the Stop and Shop, and I want to buy some allergy medicine. I have to show my ID because, oh, well, we got to make sure you're old enough to have an allergy. But any moron can grab a can of ant spray off the shelf next to the baby formula in the Time magazine that's right there. And we just have to look for better ways, look for ways to control our impulse to spray everything that we see, because as your previous guest just talked about, birds are in trouble, and we've got to create better habitat for them. Mm-hmm. So that's what I say. And learn the difference between ants and termites. They're not same. And ants don't
be on
as scary as termites can be.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
All right, so good advice, Sarah. And are you sure it's not just you that's being asked for the ID, or you think that is everybody that is being asked?
Could be just me.
Tim is giving a very skeptical.
Got to watch out for that Michael Connor, you know?
Yeah.
That's right. I'm on every post office in the state.
We'll talk to you next week, Mike.
Sounds good. All right.
Mike O'Connor there at the famous Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod, and we're at the Mystery Bird Contest is where we are here. See if we get an answer. We do have a description here. It's a large finch. The male's head and back are black. Its breast is bright red. Sides, belly, and rump are white. Female has streaked brown upper parts, streaky buff underparts, and yellow wing linings, and we have beautiful prizes, and we also have Maddie in Syracuse, New York. Good morning, Maddie. Are you there? Are you there, Maddie? I mean, I think you're. I'm sure you're there. But are you
Maddie
connected? Maddie, do we have Maddie? I don't know. That sounded like Mike. I don't know. We don't have Maddie. Okay, we don't have Maddie.
I am on.
Oh, she's on. We do have her. Sorry about that, Maddie. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Well, I guess maybe you heard our clues and whatnot. Maddie, what do you think about the mystery bird there?
I think it's a white-winged crossbill.
A white-winged crossbill, Tim, is what Maddie is saying there. And you know that Tim could play the trumpet? That's amazing. But anyway, it's not a white-winged crossbill, but thank you for that excellent top-quality guess there. Thank you, Maddie.
Well, thank you anyway.
All right. Try us again. We'll go to Larry. Now, Larry, what do you say that mystery bird
Baltimore
is?
Baltimore Oriole.
Baltimore Oriole. We're not going to play the trumpet again. Maybe we can play the buzzer again. I don't know if we'll...
Okay. But,
yeah, I guess so. That is a really top-quality guess, Larry, for what it's worth. So we'll see what we'll do. We're going to have a random drawing because we're almost out of time here. But thank you for calling in, Larry. Okay, and I believe we are out of time for today, and we want to say a special thanks to our Talking Birds team, Debbie Bleacher, Freya McGregor, and our special engineer today, Tim McKenney. And whenever Tim is here, we say...
It's Timmy time!
That's right, and Timmy time is up for today. Before we go, though, we'll identify the bird.
Come on, Ray, one more story? No, just kidding.
The rose-breasted grosbeak. The rose-breasted grosbeak is our mystery bird. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next week.
The Bird Show, I like that.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod, birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com.
And by Broom, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at brome.com.